ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mubarisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. During this month of Sha'ban, the month of Almighty Allah's mercy and pleasure, we will try to offer a glance into some of the passages of the whispered prayer of Sha'baniya, or the so-called Munajat Sha'baniya. Thank you in advance for staying with us. We'll be back again after listening to some parts of it.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. وقد جرت مقاديرك علي يا سيدي فيما يكون مني إلى آخر عمري من سريرتي وعلى نيتي وبيدك زيادتي ونقصي ونفعي وضري.
وقد جرت مقاديرك علي يا سيدي. And surely all of that which you, my master, have decided for me, فيما يكون مني إلى آخر عمري من سريرتي وعلى نيتي. You have decided for me up to the end of my life, including my secret and my open matters. This, dear listeners, is a very important sentence, and it should not be misunderstood. In this part, in this excerpt, we say to Allah that we know your measures have embraced us all, and we know that your measures will apply to us until the end of our lives. Nothing about our hidden public aspects of life are outside your decisions. Your will, your decree, actually has covered every aspect of our life. And this does not mean that Islam believes in predestination, and that things are fixed in a way that cannot be changed. But it is a confession. I know that my entire life and all of my affairs are totally covered and embraced by your plans. I am the servant who is reciting this while I am aware I have this recognition and ma'rifah. And I have come to you having this kind of ma'rifah, that you are the Lord on whose will and decision every aspect of my life hangs. And in this way, I have not come to a stranger who is not in charge of my affairs. You know everything about me, and you are in charge of everything to do with me. You may remember in the previous programs, these parts of the supplication started from the excerpt where it says, فَقَدْ هَرَبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَقَفْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ. I have escaped to you, and I stand in front of you. And now these are the etiquettes of the one who is standing in front of his Lord, who is supplicating. مُسْتَكِينًا لَكْ I am in need of you. مُتَضَرِّعًا إِلَيْكَ I am humble before you. And it started saying وَتَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي You know what is in my heart. And using different words, different languages, and different sentences actually. This recognition and ma'rifah that Almighty Allah is the absolute cause, and all-knowing, is repeated.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. حَفَفْتَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرَّضْوَانِ. Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat Sha'baniyya. The late Imam Khomeini in many places on several occasions emphasized on this Munajat, and in one of his sayings he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular, he mentioned Munajat Sha'baniyya, and he said philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers. But if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, he can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, this Munajat Sha'baniyya is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
I, as the servant, I have come to the right place. I am addressing the right person, and I am aware of it. Everything that will happen to me until the end of my life is part of your plan for me and for all human beings. So I cannot ask anyone else to change my destiny other than you. And this recognition will help us achieve that level of hopefulness in the Almighty Allah's mercy, in that ijaba and response. In this regard, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, invoke Allah while you are confident of the response from Him. It means that you must be hopeful. Having the true knowledge and ma'rifah, you will have such a hope. Once Allah revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, whenever you call me and ask for me, I am there to listen to you. So in fact, the servant must be aware of the fact that the Almighty Allah is always present and He knows all the things. But what is actually the point here is that he must be aware of the important role that supplication plays. We know that He has plans for everything, and actually one of the things we should beseech Allah the Exalted, and we have been ordered in our narrations, is that in our prayers we ask Him to suffice us by His planning, by His tadbir, from our planning for ourselves, and that He should take care of our affairs through His mercy and wisdom, and that He should not leave any of our affairs on ourselves. It means that we should rely on the planning of Allah for His servants the way He deems suitable. This is in fact a state of relying on Almighty Allah in all affairs and having confidence in the decree of Allah, having confidence in His planning both in ease and difficulty. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sha'ban bjamalak jalalak zahawban wal alam yqul lak ahibak ya Sha'ban. شعبان بجمالك جلالك زغوبان شعبان بجمالك جلالك زغوبان والعالم يقول لك أحبك يا شعبان والعالم يقول لك أحبك شعبان بجمالك جلالك أحبك يا شعبان يا شعبان أحبك يا شعبان
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah.
This is a short part of the interesting book of Sirrus Salat by Imam Khomeini. My dear, make good use of the youthful time available to you, for all will be lost in old age, even attention to the resurrection and God. One of the tricks of Satan is that he promises the opportunity for self-reform and purge in old age so that the youthful years may be wasted by negligence, and he promises the age to have long life so that by his false promises, man may ignore God until death, and at this point he takes away man's faith, if he has not already done so. Therefore, arise to endeavor while you are young and enjoy your strength and run away from anything not of Allah, and strengthen your link with him if you already have one, and if God forbid you have no link with him, acquire one and strengthen it, because no being except him, the glorified, is worth having a link with. And the links with his saints, if not meant for him, are satanic ties and tricks to block the path of truth from every angle.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and I'm your host Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi. Today we have another saying of Imam Khomeini, in which Imam Khomeini has said that Islam has come for the salvation of mankind. The very first thing that comes to mind, has mankind be in the trouble, or maybe are they kind of slave, or they are in danger, that Islam has come for the salvation of the mankind? And the answer is yes. Indeed, the mankind is in loss. Indeed, the mankind is in trouble. Indeed, the mankind is involved in the corruption and Indeed, this mankind will not be rescued if it is not following the footsteps of Islam. And Islam has come for the salvation of mankind. It has come to finish the society of slavery. It has come to finish the society of impurification.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
Islam has come to finish the corruption from the society, and that's why Islam is based on the system of justice, adl. In many verses of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, i'dilu, do justice. Qist, also known as justice. So if you want to divide on the basis of justice, if you're distributing the resources, if you're distributing the money or anything that you're distributing, do that on the basis of justice. And justice is the very first and basic thing in Islam. Why? Because if there is no justice, there is a corruption. If there is no justice, there is an oppression. And Islam has come for the salvation of mankind. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And welcome to the light. In the heart of one of the oldest districts in the U.S. state of California, there is a historical little printing house that is receiving a new lease on life. The building and its equipment were slowly dying out, and its machines were good for scrap. The iconic printing house was on the verge of bankruptcy until a group of artists revived this beacon of traditional typography. They used what was already present in the building, including the tools and hand printing knowledge. Artists are able to print their new age designs using these old printing methods. Some of the machines date back to the late 1800s. La Linterna was first founded to print newspapers. Later on, it began printing cinema and concert posters for famous artists. Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Meguro River to see stunning cherry trees in full bloom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital, Tokyo, were also cancelled. Asia's largest tulip garden has opened its doors to the public in the Indian-administered Kashmir. The event is expected to draw tens of thousands of enthusiasts this year after witnessing only few visitors last year following the COVID-19 lockdown. Jahanabad has more.
In between the foothills of the Zabarwan mountain range and the world-famous Dal Lake, Asia's largest tulip garden is now open to the public. Visitors are mesmerized by all the colorful flowers which are on display at the event. This seasonal exhibit is a major attraction for locals as well as tourists visiting this picturesque Himalayan region this time around.
People of Kashmir are eagerly awaiting spring because winters here are tough. For us, Navroz of the Persian New Year festival brings hope. And these flowers are the proof of the spring season. They please the eye and fill us with fresh energy.
In this garden, there are 51 different types of tulips, and caretakers of this garden work hard throughout the year to make sure the flowers bloom well.
This garden is God's grace, and to add to its beauty, we, a team of gardeners, are working year-round. We become delighted when we see visitors from different corners of the world come here to enjoy this beauty. It's a matter of pride for us when they compliment us on our hard work.
Amid the coronavirus pandemic, the number of tourists visiting Kashmir has drastically reduced. Now, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi has taken to Twitter and urged Indian citizens to visit Kashmir's tulip garden.
Kashmir is a heaven on earth. This is what we had heard, but now we believe it. I have never seen so many flowers together. The beauty of this place is mind-blowing.
Kashmir, a tourism-dependent economy, has long been affected by the ongoing turmoil in the region, and now the coronavirus pandemic has added to the miseries of people here. However, people are hoping against the hope that sooner or later the region will witness lasting peace and prosperity. Shahana Bhatt, Indian-administered Kashmir.
Artificial intelligence is fast growing and already touching many aspects of our daily lives. And now, a humanoid robot becomes the world's first machine artist to ever auction its own digital artwork. What is this world coming to? The robot called Sophia sold the artwork, which was in the form of a non-fungible token, for nearly $700,000. Sophia, who was unveiled in 2016 by a Hong Kong-based company, produced her art in collaboration with Italian digital artist Andrea Bonassetto. The artwork is a 12-second MP4 file showing the evolution of Bonassetto's portrait into Sophia's digital painting.
So, thank you very much for joining with me and supporting me today. The virtual, the real, the imaginal, and the literal. This kind of spirit of creativity and technology working together gives me hope that we can solve anything.
And we've been exploring Sophia's creativity on the side, but we really have been developing her as a platform and as a character more than as a work of fine art.
Since her activation, Sophia has achieved widespread appeal due to her unsettling human-like appearance, compounded with the complex ability to express emotions. She has appeared on talk shows and spoken at conferences about issues ranging from artificial intelligence to the role of robots. Hansen Company says Sophia now has simulations of every major muscle in the human face and can generate multiple expressions such as joy, grief, curiosity, and frustration.
Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Meguro River to see stunning cherry trees in full blossom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital were also cancelled. A new study has revealed that octopuses probably dream while sleeping just as humans do. Scientists in Brazil believe that the eight-legged animals experience two sleeping phases, active and quiet. During the active stage, the octopus's skin color changes. They also move their eyes and twitch their bodies. According to the study, they might have short dreams in this period. To do their research, scientists observed four octopuses while they were sleeping in the lab. Mammals, birds, and some reptiles also experience a two-phase sleep cycle. Many people have experienced the healing power of music. Now, a violinist in Brazil has taken advantage of the popular idea to spread joy and calm in COVID-hit hospitals. Cristiano has volunteered to play the violin for patients and health workers in Rio de Janeiro. According to the violinist, music should be played in all hospitals as it renews hope and eases stress. He says people are more isolated during the coronavirus pandemic, so they need music more than ever to stay motivated. Experts believe music therapy can also reduce heart rate and blood pressure.
A successful treasure hunt in China, archaeologists have made valuable finds in the country's southwestern Sichuan province. Researchers excavating the Sanxi Ju ruins have made new discoveries that help shed light on the eventful Chinese history. Some of the artifacts unearthed date back to over 3,000 years ago. Some of the most interesting objects include a 70-centimeter-long bronze ware and a ceremonial gold mask. More precious remains could be found there, as only 2% of the site has been excavated so far. In the latest round, over 500 artifacts were found. An Egyptian engineer has designed a robot to help frontline doctors do their life-saving work with more safety.
This robot is especially designed to help the medical staff during COVID-19 times. It is a medical robot capable of multitasks. It can deal with patients in their beds and help with chest scans, fever screening, and face mask detection.
Mahmoud's prototype robot is remote controlled. It can carry out PCR swab tests without causing pain. The robot is being tested in a private hospital for now, where it receives training to improve its artificial intelligence. Doctors say the ingenious invention has proven very useful so far, as it minimizes exposure to the virus. The Californian surfer is not famous for his surfing skills, but for his very special company on a surfboard, Pismo the Goat. The 80-year-old goat seems to be enjoying the waves a lot, even the very large ones. Dana McGregor, also known as the Goat Surfer, says he uses the experience for teaching children how to surf. He says riding with a goat on a surfboard has calming effects and will make children less scared of the sea and the waves. His students also describe the experience as fun and pleasant. McGregor started his goat surfing journey 10 years ago. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear about a volcanic eruption in your vicinity? Of course, fear, chaos, or probably a plan to flee. But that is not the case with Icelanders. Thousands of curious onlookers flocked to an erupting volcano to marvel at the hypnotic display of glowing red lava. Iceland's Mount Fagradalsfjall began erupting late Friday after almost 900 years. Its lava bubbles and spurts from a small cone in a valley were seen piling up in a basin. It was a joyous moment for Icelanders, who are usually exhausted with chilly weather. Access to the site was blocked initially, but authorities then lifted the roadblocks under strict guidelines. The bravest of the onlookers found grilling hot dogs and marshmallows over the smoldering ashes. That's a wrap-up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, and we are discussing about the qualities of the pious people based on the sermon number 184 in Nahjul Balagha, famously known as the Sermon of the Pious People or the Sermon of Hammam. And amongst the qualities of the pious people that we were discussing in the sessions, one of those qualities that we discussed previously was that their anger is controlled. Another quality that we're going to discuss about today is the quality of the fact that the pious people are those that are such that good is expected from them and bad and evil is not expected. Rather, people are safe, they feel safe from their evil. So they expect good from the pious person, only good, and they feel safe from the evil, from any evil action from him. And this is a wonderful quality. If you can just imagine if the world had people like this, that only good comes from them, only good is expected from them, and evil is not expected, rather you feel safe from that person, then of course that is an ideal society, a society which is a kind of what they claim to be or they seem to say as a utopian society. And this is what Islam wants as a very wonderful and lofty aim for the society to achieve.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when it comes to knowing this issue that a pious person is one whom only good is expected from and evil is not expected, rather a person is feeling safe in terms of the evil of a pious person. This is a very important trait in a pious person. Why? You see, because one who is pious, because of that connection and that fear of God that he has in his heart, he's always concerned about any action that would cause him to deflect from the purpose of creation and for his heart to be disattached from his creator.
and therefore constantly, because of this state of piety inside him, so the actions that are performed by this person are always in line with the perfection of that person and the perfection of the society. Because of that fact, so a pious person is basically one who is a muhsin, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Allah loves those who are pious and those who do good deeds and the good doers. In reality, the pious people always perform these actions because of they are constantly doing these actions. People, when they see them, because they've seen him yesterday, they say they saw him years ago, they saw him, for example, in the town, in the bazaar, wherever they see something good coming from him. So whenever people come across them, they look at him with hope. They look at him with a feeling of expectation of something good to happen in different situations. This is one of the traits of the pious person. But at the same time, people feel safe from the evil, from his evil. In other words, because all human beings have a certain type of aptitude to perform some kind of evil actions. But the people who are around a pious person, they don't fear that. And even if sometimes they see an evil action or they see something wrong from them, or they feel hurt by them, they always know that this person's intentions were not bad. You see, this is the social result of a person who tries to adhere to being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, there was once, this is a true story, there was once a king that was basically was not a very good king, but there was one of his people, one of his subjects, had an issue, had a difficulty, and he goes to Imam Radha alayhi salam for Shifa. His child was sick. So when he goes there, one of the scholars who are there in the sanctuary told him that if you want your son to be saved, then you have to pray on time. So he decides to pray on time after that. And just as he makes that decision, he sees that his child has become well. Now, what happens is that he continues to pray on time because he had promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would pray on time. Until one day, the time for prayer came when the king was passing by. And when he was praying and the king passed by, the people, he himself was thinking that if the king sees me praying while he's passing, he might get angry and beat me up or, you know, like put me into prison or something. But when the king came by and he saw the shadow of the king behind him, and then he turns to that person, his right-hand man, and said, "This is the person that you want me to punish. He is praying on time and he is doing such good deeds, and you expect me to believe that he is an evil person." So basically there was a conspiracy that he was an evil man, and that because of that evil he was supposed to be punished. But when the king saw that he is praying on time and that he receives shifa from Imam Radha alayhi salam, he said that such a person, you cannot expect evil from him. So you see, the society takes people who are close to Allah, who fear Allah, to be people who are good, who only good things come from them. And even if, let's say, sometimes something bad happens, people tend to overlook or try to look at the good action, the good intentions behind that action. This is something that, inshallah, we should all look for. And it seems like this particular phrase is trying to have a kind of a social repercussion of a person who tries to maintain piety. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the strength to always maintain our piety in different fields. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال هناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses, and then we'll be back, so stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ.
And they who are to their trusts and their promises attentive.
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ.
And they who carefully maintain their prayers.
أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ.
Those are the inheritors.
Dear listeners, in the beginning part of this chapter, we said that the verses are counting various important and outstanding attributes for the believers if they want to be from among the successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. And after that, it starts counting the different attributes. In the previous program, we talked about the 8th verse, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. We talked about the importance of covenant and keeping the trust. And in the 9th verse, it states, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And those who take care of their prayers. Now you may remember that the very first attribute that was counted for the believers was mentioned in the 2nd verse, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are humble in their prayers. But now, in the 9th verse again, we can see that the Holy Quran in this verse is pointing to another aspect of saying prayers and salat. So in introducing the true believers and true mu'min, salat and saying prayers is both mentioned in the beginning and at the end. This repetition shows the utmost importance of the matter. And this is the most prominent characteristic of the believers, which was mentioned in the 2nd verse and now in the 9th one. So this surah is emphasizing both the role and effect of ritual prayer, which is as a sign for its importance, and the verse as the last specialty of the believers here says, and those who take care of their prayers. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ.
عَلَى مَرِّ الزَّمَانِ تَأَلَّقَا وَأَضَاءَ لِلدُّنْيَا طَرِيقًا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Why?
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
What is really interesting in this case, with having a look at these two verses regarding prayer, is that the primary attribute of the believers is humility in ritual prayer, and their final attribute has been counted paying attention to their prayers. In the second verse it says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who are humble in their prayers. And then in the ninth verse it says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, and those who take care of their prayers. Their attributes start with the ritual prayer and end with the ritual prayer, because the ritual prayer is the most important relation between the Creator and mankind. In Islamic school of thought, the ritual prayer is the supreme school of training the self. It is the means toward awareness of the soul and heart, and it ensures man against sin. In short, if ritual prayer is one with all its rites, it will be a certain ground for all goodness and righteous deeds. In one of the narrations regarding the extraordinary importance of the ritual prayers, Abu Uthman says, I was sitting with Salman Farsi under a tree when he grasped a dry branch and shook it so that all the leaves on it fell off. Then he told me, you did not ask me why I did that. I asked him to tell me what his intention was for doing so. He said, this was the same action the Prophet ﷺ performed when I was sitting beside him under a tree. There, the Prophet ﷺ asked me, wouldn't you ask me why I did this, Salman? And I asked him to tell me why. He said, when a Muslim does his ritual ablutions and then performs the five ritual prayers, all his sins will fall away as the leaves of this branch. And this is actually what we mean when we say that the ritual prayer ensures man against sins, and it removes the rust of sin from the mirror of the heart. Of course, it has its own conditions that have to be observed while performing it, but we will talk about some other narrations and some other conditions regarding the ritual prayers in the next program. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
European News Bulletin.
Hello and welcome. My name is Amina Taylor, and we begin here in the British capital with our top story. More anger and outrage across the country as the ruling Conservative government ignores calls to scrap its new policing bill. Now, the draft legislation is yet to become law, but the way British police have dealt with protests over the past few weeks, well, it's given everyone a taste of how peaceful protests might be treated once they're awarded their new powers. Chris Bambury, the author and political commentator, is with us. Chris, your thoughts on this rather divisive bill?
We should remember that in the United Kingdom, the right to protest, the right to assemble, was not something given to us. It was something that had to be won, and by defying the law, just the right to vote had to be done that, achieved that way as well. So, I mean, we should be aware as well what they have given us, what the British Labour forced to give us over decades and centuries. They are quite prepared to take away. And this bill goes a long way to take away the right to assembly and the right to protest by putting which restrictions on that protest, restrictions on the question of noise, restrictions on static protest, people just standing, having a vigil or whatever. Previously as well, you had to be aware that you were breaking a police injunction to be arrested for that. Now that's no longer the case. If you're unaware of it, you haven't seen the police, we haven't heard an announcement on a noisy demonstration, you can be arrested, that's no defense. And I can continue, but what we're seeing is that this bill is quite a pronounced attack on our right to demonstrate and assemble by a government, right-wing government, where, for instance, the Home Secretary, Priti Patel, described the Black Lives Matter protest as dreadful. It's announced the climate protest would be in London as well as criminal. So therefore, they're a right-wing agenda that has to appear. And this fits to the pattern across Europe, whether it's in Spain, whether it's in France, where increasingly tight legislation is being introduced. For instance, the gag law in Spain being extended into France, so you can be jailed for insulting a member of the police or the special forces or indeed the royal family. So it reminds us that neoliberalism is not liberal in the sense of the way most people understand it. It's liberal in terms of being free market economics, but it's not liberal in terms of our rights. These are being eroded right across Europe, and this is now happening in Britain with this police bill.
Now, whilst, Chris, there has been some very vocal protests there, what impact might this have if the bill goes all the way up through the House of Lords?
Well, I think the most important thing is the police attack and the vigil for the murdered woman, Sarah Edwards, in London, really began a debate about this bill. It brought the bill to people's attention in a way which, at the moment, it seemed to be slipping past, getting through Parliament. The opposition party, Labour, was going to vote for this, was not going to vote against this bill. The protests have led to a growing awareness among young people, but not just young people, trade unionists, for instance, and others, about the reality of what's at stake here. And there's also other groups affected. The Roma and travelling communities are also being targeted under this legislation. So increasingly, I think there's now a debate about the bill, and Labour have been forced to shift. Which is something. So I think there's a possibility that we can stop this bill. But that requires the process continuing, the process we've seen. Despite police repression, the sorts of things you saw in the package, and it's fierceness in Bristol, and despite the ridiculous claims of police, which have been forced in class, like police officers being wounded and things like that. So the key thing is that the process has got to continue. We've got to keep this debate going, and we've got to try and use extra parliamentary means, because this government has got the majority in the House of Commons to vote this bill through. It's going to take action on the streets, in my opinion, to stop this bill, and increasing the involvement of people, trade unionists, for instance, the Muslim community, who should be worried about this, other groups need to be getting involved in this, not just the younger people we're seeing demonstrating in Bristol, in Manchester, and other centres, as your package.
All right. Chris Bambury, thank you, as always. Now to some other news there. French senators will meet this week to debate President Emmanuel Macron's controversial Islamist separatism bill, which aims to root out so-called religious extremism in the wake of terror attacks perpetrated by extremists. Critics, however, see the draft bill as a tool that tarnishes the entire Muslim population and panders to growing right-wing populism. Now, last year, President Macron described Islam as a religion in crisis all over.